Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This your boy Poetic, and tonight I am excited once again because tonight we're going to have a topic that actually goes into our human side. That thing just beyond, you know, just trying to be successful is connecting the dots between the people that help propel us to the next level mentally, physically, and often, you know, spiritually. So tonight we're going to get involved with that. And tonight's topic is the value of having a professional mentor as you quest for success. But before we get too deep into the topic, let's go ahead and cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come together once again to speak on this industry of music and various parts of life that bring us all together. Lord, we ask that every ear and every mind that is listening, tuning in to Hip Hop National, that they get a blessing from it, that they can get a lesson from it to go back into the marketplace so that they can make this their quest for living. We all desire to do the things that we want to do. But, Lord, let them not forget who have blessed them with the gift to do so, and that's you. In the name of Jesus, as we pray, amen. Tonight, guys, tonight we're talking about the value of having a professional mentor as we quest for success. You know, it's always good to have someone on your side. Who's an advocate to making sure you dot your I's and cross your T. Tonight, my guest is a life coach. He's a mentor and he's a minister. And his name is David Cunningham. We want to welcome him to Hip Hop National. David Cunningham, welcome to Hip Hop National. If you can, fill in the blank for what I've left out. Tell them who you are and what exactly that you do. And what's your contribution to tonight's topic?
Well, my name is David Cunningham. As Poetic said, first of all, I just want to say it's an honor and a blessing to be on your show and just to be able to speak about the importance of mentorship and having a life coach. I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today without someone really investing in me and helping me with my life. And I know at the same time, me going after people to make sure I ensured my success, but I didn't do it alone. But I am an ordained minister. I'm a life coach for professional athletes worldwide, mainly athletes that are in the NFL, that play in the NBA, and at the college ranks, professional college coaches. Also for executives, medical doctors, and more. And even thing that I have a very much passion for is our youth of America. And although that I don't, you know, I love hip-hop. I love what you're doing with hip-hop as far as trying to reach out to the youth to see the importance of how they need to get mentors, but also doing it in a professional manner. I myself am a college graduate from the University of Utah, and, you know, really that's when my whole quest for wanting to be successful actually started way back in high school. But I would say a coach of mine when I was a freshman in high school is pretty much the one who lit that fire in me as far as wanting to pursue having a mentor, because when I wanted to give up and quit on something, like my love, which was football, he told me that I had something special. He said, you have something a lot of people don't have, and that's heart. And that kept me in the game. Without him saying that sentence, I don't know where I would be today. But with that being said, I have a beautiful wife of 16 years, three beautiful children, and my business is Greatness for Life, DavidOCunningham.com, and I just want to just talk about the importance of having a mentor. So, again, that's a little bit about me, and just thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome, David. Thank you for being a part of the program. Well, I'm gonna introduce you to my sidekick, who's always putting it down with me. We kind of sometimes we have so much fun, but we bump heads at times, but we have fun at it. This is my boy Raw Dog. Raw Dog, welcome to Hip Hop National. What's happening, buddy?
Well, good evening, everyone. You know, hey, I think this is a good topic, and I'm really interested in getting into it because. You know, the funny part about it, you know, the young are raising the young around this country. And it somewhat sometimes gets frustrating for an elder to try to tell a child and the right road or the right attitude or the right outlook to change their minds and their attitudes and their goals that they can make it. But it's sometimes frustrating because they do the same thing that I did when my father tried to teach me, and they say, "Oh, you don't understand how it is today." And yesterday was the same as today, and the way to success is by listening to those that have gone down the road and made mistakes. And, you know, you can learn from others' mistakes so you don't have to repeat that same mistake and fall victim to it. You know, it's like, you know, if you say, hey, I fell in a hole one day, and so whenever you see a hole in the road, hey, just go around it. Well, you know, a kid will think he can jump it. Instead, he comes up short and falls in the hole. Well, lesson learned. Broken leg. Twisted arm, you know, all the pain. But, you know, and then once they get out of the hole, well, why didn't you tell me about all that? They only tried to tell the child, go around the hole. You don't have to tell, you know, we leave out some of the things that, you know, are the ugly side of it. But, you know, that's where they think we don't know is because we don't tell them the ugly side. You know, we don't tell them the hard side of it, the failure. The repercussions. But let's get into this topic, Poetic.
Awesome. Well, the first question I'm going to ask is, what is exactly do a coach do, David? I mean, what's the main thing that a coach look for when they come upon a client? Is it that they're looking to see if they're coachable? And then that's how they decide that they're going to work with that client? You have the floor.
I think there's something that, you know, you're not only looking at if you want to work with the client. One thing you're trying to do is you're trying to identify what that person's goal is. I would say something I follow is I call it the BAM method. It's believe, achieve, motivate, and empower. See, we're all different. Some people got a little bit thicker skin than others. I think when I've worked with people, I try to take them for where they're at. You know, I try to figure out, okay, is this person someone who thinks they have it all figured out? And sometime with a person in that situation, you got to have a what we call come to Jesus talk with them. I like one thing Raw Dog was talking about, and you know, one thing I've learned as I've gotten older is the older you get, the smarter your parents get. So that's something for those young folks to understand. But I think, you know, one thing I know that is very important and what I look for is, you know, everybody needs to feel believed in. And that's one thing that everybody has a strength. I believe that. That's how I start. Everybody has a strength. And what you try to identify is how to get that strength, how to get that client are that individual to see their strength. Because when they see that strength, then they feel like they can achieve. Therefore, they feel empowered, you know, and then they get motivated. They may get motivated to want to change. Now, I am also a person that believes in being vulnerable, sharing, like, the real stuff. Because I'm not an angel. And I know I've had my lumps, and we all do. What I mean by lumps is, like, I've made mistakes. But mistakes don't define you. And I think, you know, with some of the athletes that I've worked with, especially some of the multimillionaire athletes I work with, they have the same issues as somebody that doesn't make a penny or a dime or somebody makes minimum wage. They all feel the same feelings. They're still human. And, like, as a minister, I always share with people is that we all stay on level at the foot of the cross. Nobody's better than another. And I think that's what athletes realize is that it's not necessarily money that makes you happy. It's enjoying what you do that makes you happy and being able to give back. So hopefully that is a understanding of mainly what the way I approach as far as, you know, looking how I look for someone to work with. But I definitely want to work with someone, you said a key word, that's teachable. I mean, I will, you know, go the rounds. We're trying to get them teachable, you know, trying to help them to see different ways or working out different angles to instill a teachability in them and helping them see what their value is. But my goal ultimately is to make sure they know that I believe in them and see in their strength. Everybody has a strength. That's very important when I start off with a client.
So when you say everybody, that includes a music artist. So you're saying that this applies to the business that we're in as well as any other business on earth.
When I say everybody has a strength, like I like to, you know, one thing that I've been involved with is like speed training. You know, speed, power, agility, quickness, that's something that's around my avenue. I've trained athletes as well, but now I decided, you know, to go from the shoulders up. But I used to train from the shoulders down. But I always told them that they had a strength. Somebody may have speed. Somebody may have agility. Some may have quickness. You know, some may have linear speed. It's almost like when you look at different running backs, and I'm associating this with sports, but the same thing with artists. I mean, there's different artists that have different styles that make them maybe more different than another. But I think what people do is they want to, instead of figuring out, okay, what, like you have different parts of that, I'm sure, of the hip-hop industry. You have people that can write music. You have people who can sing music. You have people who can maybe rap or produce. It's finding out, not
or
stopping
dance.
That. Well, maybe
dance
I...
And,
yeah, or dance. Yeah, or,
is a
yeah,
great
or
part
dance.
Of what we do.
Yeah,
dance
or
is
dance.
A great part
I mean, there's.
Of what we do.
Yeah. So you have. So there's somebody out there. If they have a hunger enough, they can find. They can pinpoint what it is. That's why it's important to have a mentor, because you can go to somebody that, because a mentor is not always going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. A mentor is going to tell you, okay, this is what I think. But it's not always good just to have one mentor. You could have two or three mentors, because I know that I wouldn't be who I am today without I couldn't keep that same mentor I had as a freshman in high school as the mentors I have today. The mentors I have today help me with what I'm trying to achieve today. But I make sure that I get people around me that are willing to tell me the truth, like, okay, David, this is your strength. So when you find out what your strength is, then that's what you hone. You go after what your strength is. One of my favorite authors is John Maxwell, and he says it's important to focus on 80% of your time on your strengths and really 20% on your weaknesses. And some people disagree with that, but I totally agree with that.
All right. But what's your thoughts, sir?
Well, that was profound. That really was. And it does, you know, the same scale applies to the music industry. You know, and especially when I think about sports, those that are involved have a passion for it. And so I see those that are involved in music have a passion for that. And they have weaknesses and they have strengths. Some people can sing. Some people can't sing. Some people can only rap. Some people can, instead of rapping, They are musicians. They play an instrument. So that passion can be cultivated. And, you know, as a coach, I could hear in his voice, he doesn't destroy the individual. He tries to motivate and cultivate an individual. The same is in the music industry. I don't try to just throw people to the curb and what have you when I talk to young people about the music industry or what they're trying to do in the industry. I somewhat challenge them to find out where their strengths are. Show me the many talents that you possess when it comes to music. You know, that's the funny part about the music industry when the young folks get together. They go for one thing, and they might be stronger in another area of it, but they don't bring that one out because that's not the one on the table. But when we talk about the table of life and we talk about your goals and your passions and everything, you can't be afraid of showing and displaying those talents. Just because the rest aren't into it doesn't mean that you have to stop and change because that's what they say. You know, a mentor will sit down and tell you that, you know, you're an individual. What are your loves? You know, what are your desires? And then ask you, well, how do you think you're going to get there? I mean, you know, do you think it's just that easy? Do you think that, you know, that your way is the sure way? And then an elder is going to tell that person, okay, that's one plan. Now make another plan, just in case your first plan doesn't work. And then after they make that second plan, an elder's going to tell them, now make a third plan. Because if the first two don't work, jump to the third plan. But see, that's where the rescue net, that's where the survival, irregardless of the desire and the love, comes in. Because you see, you know, not everybody's going to make it as a pro. Not everybody's going to make it in the music industry as an A-list artist. Or, you know, but to have a happy, successful life and peace of mind, you can achieve a level to which will give you that. And I'm not talking about, you know, in the outside world, but the effort and the try and your own self-evaluation after a period of time, you're going to look back on it and smile and say, that first plan didn't work, that second plan worked, but the third plan did. And I hate to say it, but you might even have to have a fourth and fifth plan. And the older you get, the more you realize, hey, guess what? Yeah, the fifth plan is the one I'm working on now. Now, I give it back to you, Poetic.
All right. We got Vanessa April from Exposed Radio on with us. Vanessa, welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Yes, hi, how are you guys doing? It's a pleasure to be here. Absolutely
pleasure to have you. Vanessa, what we're talking about tonight, we're talking about the value of having a professional mentor as you quest for your success. Now, I understand that you guys have been doing pretty good as far as radio is concerned, but before you got there, what was the prerequisites of you getting there as a child coming up in your life? What's your take on the topic tonight?
Well, I think that, you know, all my life I have been a very determined person. I mean, that's just who I am. A lot of people, even to this day, tell me that I work too much. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, when you have drive and goals that you set for yourself, you must, you know, it's in you to do that. And for those who don't have it, need to get it. Because it is a prerequisite of being successful. And you cannot expect things to just fall in your lap because that doesn't just happen. Now, I think that hard work does pay off, and if you're willing to go for it and work hard, then, yes, things will definitely come to you. As the gentleman said, yes, I am with Exposé Radio, and we will be on at 9 p.m., which is in about 30, 40 more minutes. But I wanted to come on because I love to support other people, too, whoever is helping someone. I give that my blessing because that's kind of my driving force is to help others. I also work with Sony. I work with Universal and IMG. And we have signed a lot of deals, even just this year, Exposé Rep, through you know, me. We have gotten 5 deals
Vanessa?
Done this year. Yes.
Vanessa.
Vanessa, yes.
Just to let you know that these guys that listen to this program, they have to come through us to get to you. That's how our program works.
Right. Well,
yeah,
absolutely.
So,
I mean, look, I'm coming on your show, and that's the bottom line. You know, you, of course, are the go-to person. This is not my show. This is your show. And so however you guys do business, I respect that, and I'm sure the people that listen should as well. I just want you to know that there are a lot of people that are getting in this business, sweetie. It's who you know. It's sometimes not even what you know. You can be very, very good at whatever you're doing, but if you don't know where those doors are and you don't have any type of relationship or connections, you're still at zero. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. And, you know, it took me a long, long time. I'm not even going to lie to really get to top where I'm at now with that big door open and now I'm in with the executives. That did not just happen. Trust and believe, but they've been watching me for, you know, a couple of years and decided that, you know, hey, this chick right here, you know, would be an asset to us. And that's basically how that came about. And not only with one label, but with 3 different, and not just those, but those are the ones I work with the most, which Universal is the one I work with, which is the biggest one. And, you know, I'm going to tell anybody that comes to this radio station and these gentlemen, before they refer you to me, please I would like to know that, number one, what you're doing is really good, and number two, that you are hard worker, and number three, that you're consistent. You know, everybody thinks this is all glitz and glamour. No, sweetie, it's hard work. So if you decide that this is something for you, the industry is what you want, it's just like if you work any other job, be it construction, you're a computer technician, you work at the water plant, be good at it no matter what it is and be consistent. And this is the same thing you have to do in the music industry to succeed and actually make it pay you. And so it's not an easy job, but you have to work hard at it. And you have to have a talent. But let me say this, talent is only 10%. Without those other things I mentioned, like drive, hard work, ambition, and consistency, then, you know, you might as well do something else because you're not going to be in the music industry. Because if these people that are making it are investing in themselves, one, you have to do it. You can talk to any major star there is, and they will tell you they invested in themselves. And if you can't invest in yourself, why do you think anybody else should? So just remember that.
You got a valid point there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
A lot of artists, they miss that part of the equation. It is an investment
yeah.
to be involved.
You have
but
to invest. You have to, yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
so,
that what you guys are doing is wonderful. And, you know, I think that I was listening to the gentleman. He was very eloquent, and he spoke really well. And the things he said was absolutely true. And
wait a minute,
I think
you talking about Rodog? Did you hear that?
Yeah, I expect the women like that.
You heard that, Rodog? You got a compliment in there, man.
Hey, I expect the women like that. I tell you that a long time ago. Just because there's a little snow on the roof, don't mean there ain't fire down below.
All right, I do want to move towards the next question. Then I'm gonna include some other people as well.
Okay.
My next question is okay. I want to finish that question out. And I'm going to ask this going to John. David has already chimed in. And then I'm going to ask you, too, Venetia. And I'll start with you because you still got your mic open. How coachable do a person have to be in order for you to work with them?
What's the question? I'm sorry.
How teachable, how coachable they have to be.
Coachable. Well, I think the word that I would like to be would be how personalities and yes, when you say coachable, you mean like how easy
teachable.
Would it be?
Someone
for,
who can learn.
First off,
what
we do is an assessment. We listen to your music, and then we talk to you as a person. If you are like high strung or you sound dopey, like you're doing drugs, or if you really don't have a vocabulary, or if you're not just really catching on to the conversation even we're having, you know, as talented as you might think you are, we would not be interested. I'm just being real with you.
Hey, Poetic.
That's really
I can
deep.
Tell she's
really?
Talked to a lot of hip-hop artists.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
real. That's real. We're going to bring
Johnny.
I'm
in that same situation. Yeah.
We're going to bring John in. We got John, and then we got Kano, and then I'm going back to David. John, what's your thoughts?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing tonight?
Hey,
we got like 4 minutes before the break, so I'm going to give you two, and then I'm giving Kano two. And opening up with a quick statement, the value of having a professional mentor to as you quest for your success. You got the floor, sir.
It's very important to have a mentor to coach you and to find your weak points and your strong points, because we all need guidance in life to get to a certain point. Some things we cannot see ourselves. And sometimes we need somebody to believe in us before we can start believing in ourselves. That's a very important thing right there. Somebody can believe in you, and your belief being can kick in. And so that can start your passion and drive in life to get you on the right track, to get the right person to talk to you and mentor to you. And that's what's wrong with the young kids today. It doesn't have nobody to mentor to them. They come into all this money and all to this pain too fast and too quick. They doesn't have nobody to instruct them how to handle all this this fame and money. So I think everybody need a mentor that coming into either athletes or artists. If you're young and coming to a lot of big fame and money stuff, everybody need a mentor. And you got a great
Thanks,
show topic.
That's why I love John. John, we
you heard
missed
that. You heard that, man. Didn't he sound eloquent?
Hey,
John, you the
hey.
Man.
I miss John.
All right.
What's y'all, man?
Hey.
We got Kano the Great. Just
what up?
Kano.
What up, everyone? How y'all
doing,
Kano?
Kano.
The spotlight on you, brother. You got the floor.
Mentor is just a mentor in life. I mean, not just music, but just a life. You know what I'm saying? It's like when I grew up, I had a big brother. So he was a mentor to me. And so instead of following in the streets and doing what other people are doing, he was there to support me. And in the music world, you need support like that. You don't need a yes person. You need somebody to tell you no sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And like out there right now, there's a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? They're making a lot of money, but they ain't really investing it back into their community. You know what I mean? You could do something negative and turn it into a positive. You know what I'm saying? And you don't see that out there because you don't have mentors out there guiding these kids, you know what I'm saying, or guiding these artists in the fashion in which they should, you know what I'm saying. So I think a mentor is very important, just anybody, kids definitely, you know what I'm saying, adults, you know, this is always, you know, they need to be mentored sometimes too, you know what I'm saying, just everybody get down at some point in time, you know what I'm saying. And if you ain't making the right decision, especially if you're in a career, you know what I'm saying? Over in the long term, it's going to affect you. You know, it's going to affect you. So that's how I look at a mentor. I mean, it's has to be somebody that's positive in your life. You know what I'm saying? Who willing, you know, sacrifice things for you, but tell you no at times. You know what I'm saying? Tell you no at times, or you're doing this wrong.
All right, my man, then jumped in. And Quinn, I saw you put your hand up. And you put your hand down, but Quinn, I'm going to let you jump in because I want to hear from you. What's up, Quinn?
Hey, what's happening? How y'all doing, man?
Hey, Quinn.
What's going on, my man, Rodell? What's up, brother?
Hey, got much love for you, man. I'm happy to hear from you tonight.
Oh, yeah, you know it, man. You know it, man. I mean, you know, always, man,
thought,
you know.
Man?
Well, my thought is, bro, my thought is, you know, hey, You gotta, you know, like my man John say, man, you gotta have some guidance out there, man, and also you gotta have somebody with a good, nice personality to work with. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't just work with any everybody, man. Because everybody ain't gonna do it right. You know what I'm saying? And you can't be nice, just like you try to be nice to everybody. You know what I'm saying? You can't be nice to everybody, man. That's why, you know, sometimes you gotta be careful how you put your all in things. You can't put your all in everything. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know how it's gonna turn out to be. So, you know, I take things, you know, one day at a time. So, you know, that's how I would do it. You know what I'm saying? So I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for me. So, you know what I'm saying?
On that note, we about to go to the break, but I'm glad you gave me the head nod that I can be mean to Rodar. You heard that, Quinn said don't be nice to everybody.
Yeah, but hey, come back to me when you after the commercial, because I got something to add on to that.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, the value of having a professional mentor as you quest for success in this industry of music.
Playwriter and director Antonio G. Wells presents to you, Why Am I Still Single? The Stage Play. Coming November 24th, 2013 for two shows. Available for 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Located at the Coral Springs Center for the Arts, 2855 Coral Springs Drive, Coral Springs, Florida.
And what does that supposed to mean?
That means I'm starting to turn out like that old lady that
ooh,
I know.
Oh, because I like good vibes.
Yeah,
ooh.
That old lady. You.
F-I-slap-you.
You don't want to miss this place, so get your tickets now. Tickets are $15 in advance and $25 at the door. Booth rates are also available. Call 954-200-2839. That's 954-200-2839.
Please come as quick as you can and marry this girl. Because if she eat my Cocoa Puffs one more time, I'm going to catch a case. Because I'm cuckoo from a Cocoa Puff.
November 24, 2013. Another Antonio G. Wells production.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip hop national partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got that celebrity interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of the Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to valderbbshow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, guys, and we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight, we are talking about the value of having a professional mentor as your quest for success. But before we get back into the topic, I definitely want to tell you Hip Hop National is a marketing firm to help you present a professional portfolio to present to the inside circle of the music business. We do this to help you connect the dots between the industry, the artists, and the music listeners. Upload your music today, www.hiphopnational.com, and let's get connected. Let's make it happen. All right. Again, that is www.hiphopnationalradio.com. anyway, let's get back into the topic. My guest tonight is David Cunningham. I'm coming right back to you right now, David. I do have another question that I'd like to propose to you. Now, my question to you is there some kind of training camp set up? I know you do it as athletes, but there's a training process that starts where you act, and you probably assess what that athlete is able to do. Now, I'm going to tell you why I brought you on. I know you are an athletic coach, but I'm going to show you the relevancy. When an artist get on stage, it takes a lot of win for him to carry on a concert and be up there. Sometimes they're moving around, they're jumping up, they're jumping down. Their body condition has to be in condition as well. Now, my question to you is, I know you do it to the athletes, but where did you see the relevancy that maybe there's a training program that can be involved? You now have the floor.
Well, being involved with hip hop. Hello.
You have the floor, sir. Go ahead.
No, you're saying being involved with hip hop. Why hip hop? How they can use, you know, sports training? Is that your question? Make sure it's correct.
How they can use the kind of conditioning that you do, so that they can develop themselves to have a stronger presence when they're on stage, because it takes a lot. It actually takes the athletic body to be on stage, believe it or not. They have to be in condition. Now, sometimes you see big guys, but those guys are in condition because they condition themselves to perform for a length of time. And the more,
you know, it's funny,
better they're in shape. Yeah, go ahead. You have it.
Well, I'm just saying it's funny you would ask that question, because I know sometimes I can see people and then they'll be like skipping verses because they're getting tired up there. But I watch, and then I see people like, you know, maybe Nelly perform, or, you know, I may see an artist perform and they're in good shape. You know, something that a lot of like Olympic athletes that do cold sports, they call it dry training. The kind of training that we're involved with is something called speed, agility, quickness. And the important also is just putting fuel into your body. I think a lot of people just there's two aspects of it. It's like your body's like, you're not going to put regular gas into a BMW or a Mercedes or a Lexus or a Maserati or a Bugatti. You know what I'm saying? You're going to put premium. And why? Because you want to put the best fuel in the car so it can be efficient. I think the same applies to when a person is before, you know, stage, they ought to be having an appropriate diet, you know, eating appropriately, you know, eating fruits and vegetables and grains, and making sure that they're, you know, giving their body the nutrition it needs. I mean, because one thing that I taught the athletes that I train physically is that, yeah, you can come and train till the cows come home, but you got to make sure that you eat appropriately. Now, on the flip side of that, you also got to work hard. Like, when I would do something like NFL Combine training with athletes, they didn't believe me until I took them through a training session, and then they couldn't hold down their food. I won't say what they, you know, they couldn't hold their food down because they ate nasty food, or maybe they had drunk a little something they shouldn't have been drinking. I told them, I promised them, I said, if you don't eat adequately, if you don't drink enough water, you will not survive. And they didn't trust me until we went through it. Then afterwards, then they learn from it, and they start taking it very seriously. So I think the way that it transforms from whether it's hip-hop, athletics, any kind of a sport that you're in, you got to make sure that you're at optimal shape and optimal, taking care of your body in all aspects. Because I know some people will choose to put things in their body that they shouldn't, and that's their MO. That's what they can do, what they want to do. But if you want to be a true performer, you gotta, like they say, you gotta practice like you play.
perfect practice makes perfect play.
All right. I totally agree. I have to agree with you. And actually, that was a good gold nugget that you just dropped in there. Perfect practice made perfect play. And I'm going to go to Rada. Rada, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I agree with him. But then I have to say, you know, I heard what you said, and then I start to think, okay, Michael Jackson, the greatest entertainer, performer of all time, he was always in great shape. But this last tour that he was going out, they had to hire a doctor so he would be physically prepared to do a concert a night. At a certain point in time, a performer, an entertainer, has got to realize that age has caught up with them. They cannot do what they could do when they were in the beginning. As a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult, Michael Jackson had all the energy, and he was fantastic. And as he got older and older, when they put this last concert, they had to hire a doctor. Now, was that because at a certain age he no longer had that agility to do the strenuous things that he had done when he was younger? And there's where we would have accepted his abilities and his talent for less of the dancing. You know, that's just like James Brown. You know, I can remember in his earlier years, he was a dancing fool. But as he got older, he slowed it down. He couldn't do the splits and jump back up and go back down and do it again. Okay. Am I lying, y'all? Okay.
No, but you brought up a valuable point, because something that's very important is rest. And like you said, you can't you got to make sure you rest, but you also got to know your limitations. I mean, something that's very valuable is that some people don't, they want to, like a good friend of mine told me this, as a professional athlete for 13 years, he said, you know what, David, I've done 365 days of training camp. He's like, I can't train like I trained when I was younger. I got to rest my body. Because when I wake up on Monday after a game, I feel like I'm stepping on pins. So rest is very essential. And I think maybe in Michael Jackson's mind, he probably thought, well, I want to go out and perform like I performed when I was maybe a young kid or when I was like in my younger age. But you can't do that. And I really don't even think the fans expect that. I think people sometimes are harder on themselves than the fans are. People
right.
know you're getting older.
And you know what? We would have accepted him doing less just to experience and hear his talent.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what kind of hurts me about that whole thing. The promoters, that they wanted him to be that young guy. Why would they hire a doctor? You know, I mean, when you start to think of all this, what they were requiring and wanting him to do was somewhat unfair. You know, it was like putting the boundaries out there and saying, we want you to do this, and this is what you're going to get for it. But we would have accepted him with less.
But what if, you talk about Michael Jackson, but what if they knew that he was, you know, using, you know, like pain medication. You have to look at the liability factor from that.
Yeah, but you know what? The trip is, he had to use them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say this. Okay, what was Michael? He was closing on 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to use that pain medication. Because as active as he was in his dancing, he no longer had that in his joints, the flexibility and the point of no pain, or waking up in the morning and finding out, oh, when I stretch my leg, it's got a click to it now, you know. I experienced that at this point in my life. So I'm trying to tell you, I didn't have it when I was younger. But see,
what he wanted to do, he couldn't do, okay? And somebody, a mentor, not, you know, not someone trying to gain profit off of him, but a mentor should have said, Michael, you're still valuable. You're still valuable. You have achieved such heights that they are appreciating what they've seen before. They just want you and to hear you. He still would have got a standing ovation.
He still just brought up an incredible point. You just brought up an incredible point. Who do you surround yourself with? Who do you surround yourself with? Because I think this would be, I'm not, you know, I'm only going to say this on my own personal feelings, that maybe if he would have had himself surrounded by some people that would have told him the things you just, you know, communicated, it could have possibly, I want to say this with the total and utmost respect, it could have possibly saved him. It could have possibly at least been a savior instead of maybe having the people around him that just said, just maybe had a little bit of bobbleheaded going on, like, yeah. But saying, hey, you know, you gotta take care of yourself, you know.
Exactly. But they were trying to cash in on
there's a lot of people that sat there with their personal interest story in it. They knew that if they got around Michael Jackson, it makes them look good to be in that company. So they did everything they could to secure that. It didn't matter, even if it took to getting him some of the things that he wanted that was no good for him.
But now you know what? Now here's what's funny. If Michael Jackson would have just said no and invested his money in his own club in Los Angeles, it would have been packed every night. He could have become a very, very old man, and people would have still been coming to Michael Jackson, where he could have sat in the lounge and done any kind of little tune. He could have did Mary Had a Little Lamb, and everybody would have just went, "That's Michael." So, you know, there were other avenues that he could have taken, but he was being exploited to such an extreme. They even videoed the rehearsal because they were betting on something going wrong.
There was a key thing that was said. Somebody said it earlier. They said, sometimes you need somebody to believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And for me, maybe looking at, you know, we all have different childhoods. You know, we all go through different pressures and things of that nature. I wonder if sometimes, you know, did Michael Jackson ever get to a point where he felt like he had someone to really believe in him and allow him to express himself and be vulnerable and real, where he had a safe environment, where he didn't feel like he had to put up a front like many people do, like whether it's a minister or a president or of a company or an athlete or whoever. Some people put up this front where they don't want people to know what's really going on in their lives. And it's sad, but we always want to put our best foot forward. But I think the people that are really free are the ones that are able to have people around them where they could just get real. And in case in point, I have one athlete who was very vulnerable with me and very real with me to the point where he started crying. So it was real. And I think I allow there to be a safe place for him, because I think we all need it. We all need it where we can just vent and share stuff that maybe we can't share with everybody, and we don't need to share with everybody. But we got that one person that we can, one or two or three people we can really trust, where we just tell them everything that's going on, even the dark places, even the skeletons. Let it out, because that to me is what I believe that holds a lot of people back from becoming not only all they could be, but it also holds them back from really releasing their own demons inside or their own feelings that they really want to just, they want to talk about it, but they're scared because they think if they share it, well, man, if I share this, I don't know how to share it. Maybe that's a future topic. How do you talk about the things that you don't maybe want to talk about, but finding the right people around you to talk to them about so you can free yourself up?
So that seems to happen.
That was very good.
You definitely said something. One thing, that's going to be a future topic, but go ahead.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what? I said that over the radio. I said there's nothing that you can't ask that we're going to think is weird, dumb, or stupid, you know. Excuse me. And I've said that if you don't know or if you have a question, feel free to ask it. You know, because young people, I do hear what you're saying. Who do they ask or who do they tell something that they need input back on? You know, it's hard to trust someone because you can trust the wrong person and it all backfires on you. You know,
that's
but
true.
When you find, and I'm going to say this to you, and I realize why my dad took me around elders, is because, you know, they talked more truth. And they listened if you had a question. And I don't remember them laughing. I would just remember them saying, "You are so young. I wish I was your age." Because there's an innocence to understanding that we're all human beings. We all have questions. And if we don't know and if we don't understand, it's okay to ask. You know, but, you know, I find that elders have more respect and are more patience, and they will keep it to themselves, you know, rather than spreading it on Facebook or, you know, telling everybody in the neighborhood. I find that elders will keep more things in to themselves if when young people bring them to them. You know, it's not like, you know, when if you tell a friend and then the friend turns on you and as you're going down the street, they point at you and they're laughing at you. You know, an elder will, you know, try to answer that question and try to give that young person the understanding that someone does care, that, you know, that every human being has value. The young people don't show that to each other, you know, and as elders, we have to show that we care. We may not know you. We may not have spent a day with you, but as another human being, we have love and we have care for our fellow human beings. And if we can, you know, that's I believe that's what mentors do. And once a younger person sees that and gets that, they turn into someone that's going to pass it on later on because they're going to remember they were at that crossroads. And someone gave them that gift to go forward, that they were valued, not necessarily to be an athlete, but just a good person. And a wonderful personality and great character and pleasing because, hey, they exist. You know, so that's the way I see a mentor, you know, and I got that from the elders, you know.
Question for you. So you mean to tell me all the stuff that you've been telling me, you know, in private and I'm putting it on Facebook, I wasn't supposed to do that?
You're learning it. You can't mentor somebody overnight. You're a prime example.
I just wanted to make sure. I just made sure because I should have been blasting it. John, John, what you doing there, man? What's your thoughts off there in the cut, brother, based on what these two gentlemen just said?
Man, the two gentlemen said some powerful things, man, because it's the truth. In life, we all need balance. We all need a place in life. Well, we can just be a, because after the lights get finished flashing after a show, after you fly this place and fly to that place, you're on the interview here, interview there, you want to be able to relax. You want to be able to get some peace in your mind so that you can find yourself. And that's a lot of problem with a lot of people. they don't know themselves because they had to pretend to be everybody else. So once everything clear and everything get quiet, they don't know who they are because they don't been everything to everybody else or trying to be things for everybody else. But like I say, you know, we all need to just, I mean, just myself tonight, you know, you say it's been a while since I called the show. See, sometimes I feel like I can't be my best because I go through things. Can't be good company. I don't want to be no company at all. That's the way I feel sometimes. And I need to go to a place where I can gather myself so that I can be the best person that I can be and so that I can stay rooted in life because you can get lost out here in this world so quick and lose yourself. And I'm just not finding myself in life because I had to make some changes in my life. And so I found myself, and I wanted to keep up with myself. I want to keep a straight mind and stay focused in life. But like I say, your show itself produced a lot of great mentors for young kids out there, the unsigned artists, to listen. If they just listen to the people that come on your, they will learn a lot. And everything that be said is coming mentoring to these young kids, just not for the music industry, but also into their life. And that is a big, important role. And for me, sometimes I come on the show to get mentored to myself because I need, you know, some encouragement in my life. You know,
I tell you,
I'm here.
You say you sometimes be in that low place. Do call in because don't get me wrong. We are connected to you. We really feel for you as a human being. I'm just letting you know, me and Raw Dog, outside of here, we have discussed you, and we have brought your name up. We brought your boy Quinn name up. We bring Kano up. All you guys who come in here all the time, you guys are family to us. And if you're going through something, make sure you come through because we might just be that last voice to help you get through it. Definitely. We're here for you.
You know what? Somebody I talked to today on the phone, who's older than me, said a phrase.
Wait a minute.
And
somebody's older than you, Rod? I'm just kidding.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
You know I got to make
That's all right.
You got it.
I try to find people older than me. Now, what about that? I want to be the youngest guy in the room. But check this out. He made a statement to me, and he said that young folks, and mentoring, tell them it's like hitchhiking their way to heaven. And I thought about that, hitchhiking their way to heaven. If you deal with elders in the right perspective and you don't know which way to go and you find a good mentor, because I'm not saying that all elders are good, that'll take the time. We're all just trying to get to heaven. You got an NFL player who is now a minister. You have Poetic, who is poetic, who prays at the beginning of every show. And we're all trying to get to heaven. And that's what we want young folks. We want young folks to be able to get to heaven, to walk the right path, to have a smile on their face, to be able to hold their head up, you know, to be all they can be, you know. And sometimes you can't see what other people see in the greatness in you young people, your strengths, your weaknesses. You know, the funny part is that there are very few elders who are going to try to tear down a young person. They try to encourage them. But now there are mean elders that walk down the street with a frown on their face. But they also can tell you, hey, guess what? They made it. But see, do you want to be, when you make it to an older age, do you want to be an unhappy elder? Or do you want to be mentored by the elder that's got the smile on their face and able to say, hi, how are you? See, you have two choices. Just because we get old, which picture do you want to see as you you get to be that age. You want to be the elder with a smile on the face, or you want to be the elder that's walking down the street frowning, looking down?
Yeah, but
now, that's a trip. That's even further down the road. But see, I'm getting the kind of into growing up and surviving. And that's what we all want you to do. So whether you're up or you're down, there is a tomorrow. And when you get there, you'll say, I'm there now. Okay? Hey, Ben.
Hey, no.
Yeah, but Chip, you got to look at how society is now. If you really look at society and how these kids are growing up, I mean, you could be a mentor all you want, but it's just, you know, everything is focused on money. Everything is focused on negativity, you know, as far as music, movies. I mean, it's hard to find a lot of positive in the world unless you surround yourself with positive people. You know what I'm saying? Pretty much. And just being an artist yourself, I mean, there's some type of imbalance sometimes. That's the trade-off. You know, it's a curse and a blessing. I mean, if you look at just all artists throughout history, you know what I'm saying, they all had some sort of dependency, you know what I'm saying? They all had sort of some sort of mental illness, maybe in a small degree, as you said. I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, just how the brain processes, you know, as being an artist. It's a lot different than normal people, you know what I'm saying? So when you get a stature, you get money, you know, lots of money and things of that nature, and you don't know how to act, to say, you know what I'm saying? It's hard not to, you know, try things that you should not try, even though you know you shouldn't try things. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the people that are surrounded in the industry, like I said, like for Mike, for instance, they're all yes people. So they may see him doing wrong, but if Michael asks them to do something, they're going to go do it for him, you know what I'm saying, just out of respect, even though it might be negative. So in today's society, that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? It's deeper than music. You know, it's deeper than anything. It's today's society. And until we find some common ground, you know what I'm saying, in life, you know what I'm saying, you can't reverse, you know, the changes that's going on here with these young kids. You know what I'm saying? It's just all the things they have to go through. You know what I'm saying? When I was a kid, they didn't have Facebook when I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? I can imagine, you know, if I was in school or something, and you know, Facebook, Instagram, you know what I'm saying, just embarrassing moments and things of that, you know what I'm saying? We got to teach these kids to be stronger than what they are, you know what I'm saying? You got situations in school with bullying and things of that nature. We need mentors to go in there and tell these kids, you know what I'm saying, you know, to change your life, you know what I'm saying? Help another person out. You don't have that, you know what I'm saying? Teachers are supposed to be mentors. Counselors are supposed to be mentors. Leaders out here are supposed to be mentors, but we don't have that in society because it's all based off of money. You can see that in politics. So, I mean, it's deep. It goes deep.
All right. We're getting ready to go to a break. And I'm going to say this. Definitely, we all need to be mentors. And when we get back, we're going to talk about what coaching really is, you know, the psychology of it, the leadership of it, and having to give back and mentor someone through the cycle so that they could be successful. But you're not going to hear it from me. We're going to hear from some of the experts that's on the phone, okay? Right now we got on deck with us David Cunningham. We got John, and we got Kano and Raw Dog, my sidekick. But we'll be back in just a moment. Y'all keep it locked, keep it loaded right here on Hip Hop National Radio, just to let you guys know. You don't hear many songs during the break. I would love to hear some songs during the break. All it takes is you to put your song there. And if you want to get your song during the breaks, and so we can hear it while everybody's on deck to talk about it, call in at 954-461-3398. 954-461-3398. That'll connect with us. Boom, we can get you going right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Y'all stay with us. There's more on the other side. We'll be back in just a moment, so keep it where you got it.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
Forever Memory Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, Music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you can call 214.
Playwriter and director Antonio G. Wells presents to you, Why Am I Still Single? The Stage Play. Coming November 24th, 2013 for two shows. Available for 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Located at the Coral Springs Center for the Arts, 2855 Coral Springs Drive, Coral Springs, Florida.
And what does that supposed to mean?
That means I'm starting to turn out like that old lady that
ooh,
I know.
Because I like good vibes.
Yeah, ooh, that old lady. Ooh, you.
If I slap you.
You don't want to miss this play, so get your tickets now. Tickets are $15 in advance and $25 at the door. Booth rates are also available. Call 954-200-2839. That's 954-200-2839.
Please come as quick as you can and marry this girl. Because if she eat my Cocoa Puffs one more time, I'm going to catch a case. Because I'm cuckoo from a Cocoa Puff.
November 24th, 2013. Another Antonio G. Wells production.
Hip Hop National Radio has changed its hours of operation to better serve you. We are now on from 5 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 p.m. on the East Coast. With this new exciting change also comes new and exciting opportunities. So look out and look for what's in store for you. That's right, Hip Hop National Radio is looking out for you, our listening audience. We will be giving away gift cards, prizes, and more. So tune in now for your chance to win. To join us in our chat room, log on now to blogtalkradio.com/hiphopnationalradio. To listen in by phone, dial 213-559-2995. That number again is 213-559-2995. Loyalty is royalty. And remember, you cannot win if you're not locked in and listening. We're Hip Hop National Radio, your music industry information resource provider.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, you got it locked to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're talking about the value of having a professional mentor as you quest for success in this business of music. But before we get back into the topic, I want you to know you can connect with us by uploading your music at www.hiphopnational.com or www.hiphopnationalradio.com. It will definitely get you your music to us, upload it, we will evaluate it, check it out, and get back to you and see if we can make a connection. www.hiphopnationalradio.com. Now, before we went to the break, I was saying I wanted to know what is coaching, because from what I understand, things that a coach is capable of doing, I wanted to know some from a tactical expertise way of doing it, things that they do. Do they teach you how to network? Do they teach you how to interview, negotiate? Things that you may need on your path as a professional. And I'm going to start this with you, David. How do you guys do it in the NFL? You now have the floor.
Well, I think, I think with it, you know, you really got to focus on, I mean, I've had a lot of success with, first of all, starting off with what I call SAFE. And the acronym for SAFE is, first of all, I have a spirituality. You know, I know a lot of people here in one of the guys on the panel talk about just being grounded, you know, and I think that everybody needs to be grounded, even myself. So I start with the spirituality of it, because with the spirituality of it, that kind of covers, you know, a big aspect of it. And I think dealing with a lot of athletes, it helps them stay grounded, no matter if they're making, especially some of the guys that I work with that, I mean, one of them, he makes $30 million a year, and he's sponsored by, you know, Nike, Vitamin Water, Smart Water, Got Milk, you name it. I mean, he's got a lot of sponsorships out there. So some of that can kind of get to your head, but spirituality keeps you grounded because you realize that God's priceless. I think the second thing you got to focus on is your family. Some of the guys that I coach, they have families, and it's important, you know, when you're being coached to talk about, like, even in my own life and with the clients I deal with, you know, I need help how to be a good father, how to be a great husband. It doesn't happen by osmosis. I've been married 16 years. That just doesn't just happen. You got to, I have to have somebody in my life that's going to be like, hey, you probably could do this better, you know, as a husband, or maybe you need to do this with your, you know, with your kids, engage with your kids. So I have a son, so he's coming up. He might want to be in the hip-hop. I want to find out. But I know one thing I want to instill in him is education, the importance of that. Because a lot of things they're not teaching in our schools, they're not teaching the importance of just, yeah, they're teaching, like, you know, history. But some kids need to know about their own history, their black history, or whatever nationality they are. And so in my aspects, Indian, their own Indian, Native American heritage. But with that being said, I think it's important that people are educated. I think kids that are clients I work with also, you know, just their attitude. God, to me, attitude is everything. And again, with just that, the spirituality, the attitude, the family, and just the environment, trying to keep yourself in a good environment. Like one of the athletes that I mentor, I told him, he's in a city that's, to me, it's a crazy city. I'm not going to name it just out of respect for him. But one thing I told him, I said, man, in the off season, you should probably try to get to a place where it'll keep you grounded. And you know what? He did it. And it made all the difference in the world for him. So I think you talk to him about certain things. One thing I do know is I know my strengths as a coach, as a life coach, but I know that I don't know it all. So, for instance, I know I deal with some clients who will ask me about financial advice. I'll go to a trusted advisor who's somebody I trust, and I'll talk to that person and fill them out and make sure that I'm connecting that client with somebody that they can really trust, as far as whether they want somebody to advise them with money, they want to go through management. And Poetic, since I've got to know you, I mean, I'll send somebody your way because I know, I trust you, I know you. So that's how I work. If I don't know, I'm the kind of person that if I don't know something, I'm not going to act like I know it. I'm going to send that person to the proper individual or proper group to get their needs met in that situation. Even when it comes to agents, like somebody, a lot of guys will be there. I'm getting emails and calls now from a lot of college athletes who are asking me, hey, who should I pick for an agent? And I'm like, well, who does the guy have on his resume? Who's he representing now? And I know agents, and I'll be talking to those agents, and I'll be like, hey, you know, wanting to really fill them out. What are you guys about? Because I will do that for them. I'll go the extra mile for the clients that I have. Because to me, that's what it's all about, going that extra mile. So hopefully that answers the question as far as, like, my breakdown on how I deal with my clients. But if somebody, after this call, I know I'm going to get hit up about, hey, I know somebody already hit me up with, hey, I want to be a writer in hip-hop. I heard you're going to be on this show. Well, I'm going to be like, well, maybe you ought to, let me give you the phone number to a guy I know named Poetic. He probably can help you out with that, because that's not my level of expertise, and I won't pretend to be that it would be. So that's how I, you know, deal with that.
Man, that's what I like.
And I learned that from
And I learned that, and before I finish, I learned that from a great guy, and he's an incredible coach. He's won 2 national championships, and I actually worked with him. And he taught me this. His name is Urban Meyer. You know, he's coached for a variety of teams. Now he currently coaches for Ohio State, coached for Florida, won 2 national championships. One thing I like about him is he surrounds himself with great coaches. But since he's been coaching, he's helped 7 guys become head coaches. One of those guys is a Coach Strong, who coaches for Louisville, and they're doing very well. And I just know that one thing about him, he's not afraid to surround himself with great people. So as a coach, as an individual, you can't be afraid to have people around you that are stronger than you in a certain area, because that's what makes you better. But some people are afraid of that. They're intimidated by that. But that doesn't make you better. You got to allow yourself to be surrounded by people who are even better than you in places where you're not.
Man, you hit the nail. You hit the nail right on the head, man. That what you just said is absolutely a certain necessity. Surround yourself with people who's better than you, because that's how you learn. That is how you learn. I mean, if you want to be a better chess player, you got to get the better chess player to teach you.
I like the way you put that.
And that's a great. That's real. Endure.
Yeah, if you want to have a better marriage, you get around some people that have better marriages. You want to be a better father, you go seek out the guys that are great fathers. You want to be a better athlete, you go get a. I was shocked when I found out one of my NBA guys, he has a shooting coach. I'm like, I didn't know you needed a shooting coach. He's like, oh yeah, I need a shooting coach.
Endure. You now have the floor. Step in.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, Endor. How you doing tonight, Endor? Just to let you know, we're talking about
I'm
the value
so
of having a professional mentor. Do you have a professional
mm-hmm.
mentor in your life?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and what value has that been for you?
It's been a great value as far as trying to understand the music industry, the business itself, knowing how to approach business professionals like themselves, and basically knowing how to project myself and strategize, you know, the business and the marketing and applying myself as an artist in the industry.
Awesome. Okay. So, we have David Cunningham. I'm gonna tell you, David Cunningham, he's a mentor and coach to the pros. Do you see the parallel in which you as an artist sometimes have to get up on stage and condition have a mental, your mind's got to be conditioned as well as your physical has to be conditioned? Do you see the parallel where the coaching of even an NFL coach can kind of parallel to what you do?
Oh yes, most definitely. Because like it's competitive in any, you know, in any type of level of business or how would you say it, or job criteria you choose to do. It's competitive. You got a million and one people who want to do the same thing you do. And, you know, we all need, you know, a sense of direction and somebody to help us along the way, because you're going to meet people who are going to be too hard on you, you know, or more or less just trying to understand the financial situation of certain things. And, you know, like I said, the business side of it as well.
Okay. I agree with you. K-Note the Great. What's your
thought, sir? Coach? Well, a professional coach, there's a difference in just a difference between a professional coach and just someone to mentor you in life, in a sense. Why I say that is when I was younger and I worked at the Boys and Girls Club for a summer, you know, and I worked with these kids, and I mean, they were bad. They were bad. They were cussing.
What'd you say, man?
You know
they were
saying?
Bad.
They were bad. You know what I'm saying? BAD, bad. You know what I'm saying?
There's no such thing as a bad kid. He just has issues.
Well,
Hey, Poetic, this is David Cunningham. I was bad. I got that switch put on me. I was bad.
Well, see, that's a whole different thing. You had issues.
Yeah, sure did.
You didn't want to follow the rules. That's an issue.
but to describe what happened was, I mean, these kids was bad. And what happened, you know, like I said, they came in, they were disrespectful. But what happened over time was magic, and it what opened my eyes as far as, you know, just myself being the leader and the coach, is when I started to interact with these kids more. You know what I'm saying? They respected me. You know what I'm saying? They gave me respect, and no longer did they act up or cuss or act out. You know what I'm saying? I helped them with their homework. We watched movies, played basketball, and I think that was the beauty and magic. They were looking for someone to mentor them. They was looking for someone positive in their life. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times in life right now, you don't have that because it's all about a dollar sign. I'm sure there's true, real people out there, but there's not a lot of real people out there, you know what I'm saying? Especially for these kids' life. I mean, these kids are the seeds, you know what I'm saying? And a person who has that leadership, you know what I'm saying, to be able to coach, you know what I'm saying, they have a passion for whatever they do. You know what I'm saying? They want to see people do right, you know what I'm saying? Like David said, they, you know, take care of their body and be able to talk to different people in different fields to help them, you know what I'm saying, transition in life. But, I mean, like I said, man, it was just the magic in it, you know what I'm saying? You feel it inside, you know what I'm saying, as you being a leader or being a coach, you know what I'm saying, that you actually made a difference in these kids' life at this particular time. You know, they could have took the values they learned from me and applied those in life, you know what I'm saying? You know, they might be doing good, but at that point in time, just to you know, just witness that, you know what I'm saying? Come in and see the change of demeanor. I mean, it's crazy. It's surreal.
David, did you say you was bad?
Oh, yeah.
You was one of the bad good kids, you know?
But you know what? I can tell you guys are all
No. I was bad, and I got my butt whooped, too, and that was... And that was by some elders. See, and that's something that is a missing link. Now people want to call. I'm not talking about beating. I'm talking about, you know, positive reinforcement with a switch.
Well, I tell you like this, David, I keep it real. In the black community, we use the word beating, but we wasn't talking about no beating down, hitting you with a bat and stuff. The truth is, it was just that's a matter of language, culture difference. The truth is, we got our butt whipped, and I can tell you like
spanking.
This, for me, that right there is what kept me out of real trouble, because I was getting in trouble.
You was a bad,
but it kept
you
me,
were bad.
It kept me out of the legal system.
I want to ask
but you guys
the
question.
Thing is, I got a question for you, David, you, Poetic, and Kano. You guys weren't only children, were you?
No.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Now, wait a minute. Why I say that is this. Yeah, I can understand why you guys say you were bad, because you weren't only children. Well, I was an only child, which means mama got me, daddy got me, grandma got me. There was only one kid to get. I didn't have a brother or sister that I could watch kids got.
But I can say like this.
Oh, no,
My neighbor got me. My neighbor got me. Trust me.
My principal got me, so that's back in the days when the principal could paddle you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got it there, too. Oh, God, does that mean I was a bad kid, too?
Because
my principal gave me.
Yeah, but
hey, you know what's so funny about it? It's biblical. They say if you spill the rod, you do spoil a child. That's what the missing link. And I'm like, some people must not read their Bibles. Because, you know, it's good for a kid to be disciplined. I mean, how else you going to learn? How else you going to keep them out behind them bars?
That's why you got to get it.
I just say, you got to get a healthy community. They use the word that beaten, and then people say, oh, they abused them. But if we said, we had to discipline them, we still got that belt. It doesn't matter. We got the belt.
Yeah.
That's why I went in life. In life in general, as an adult, I still have flashbacks. When I think I'm going to do something wrong, I think of that pink belt, you know what I'm saying, coming across.
I remember
my son asked me today, Daddy. My son asked me, he said, "Hey, Daddy, you know, you give me spankings. Who spanks you?" I said, "God does."
And not really, no, I got my, God, when I was your age.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? But that's the funny part about this. It's not one of us that went through it. We all went through it. It helped us be better people. It kept
us better, so that we're all free.
And that we can sit back and say, hey, it didn't kill us. It made us stronger, and at times it made us wiser. So I do understand the biblical sense of, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Well,
because,
I'm gonna tell
you, like, you know, we spoil our children with love, you know, and so therefore, you know, the discipline, we don't want our children that are spoiled to walk out in the world and have the world be the punishers.
Because the world punishes cruelty with cruelty by putting them in a locked up system in prison, and God knows what happens there.
Right.
Yes,
I'd rather tell you the truth, I'd rather halt my child before they ever go into that system, period.
See, that's why you got to teach these kids what's real. The stuff that's made of fantasy, you know what I'm saying, that we live in, you know what I'm saying. There is slavery happening in this world, you know what I'm saying. There is exploits happening in this world. And until we start teaching these kids that these things do exist, you know what I'm saying, it's always going to be how it is. You know, and that's real. You got to be real.
I think sometimes my wife even gets maybe a little frustrated with me. I'll see a kid out in public maybe disrespecting his mom, and I'll be like, and it's a single, you can tell it's a single mom, and I'll be like, hey, don't do that. That ain't right. And then my wife will be over there, if that ain't your kid, I'm like, hey, that's what they used to do when I was growing up. If I was acting up, somebody, they said something about it.
Yeah,
but
you know,
I got straightened up.
But you have to teach.
I know, but stuff can change so badly.
You have to change responsibility. You have too many single mothers. A lot of these fathers, then you got them actually be a father. I mean, you blame it on different things. At the end of the day, it's all about responsibility. And in parenting, you have to be a responsible parent. That's the problem. We have the breakdown right there. You know what I'm saying? My mom was a single parent, yet she raised both me and my daughter. I see it happen every day out here in the world. You just have to be a responsible parent and actually take the time to nurture that seed. You know what I'm saying? If you don't do that, you know, that's like with my own daughter. You know what I'm saying? I have to be there for my daughter. I have to talk to her. I don't yell at her. I'll be like, you can't do this. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. You know, if you want to be this, you got to do this. Get your education. You know what I'm saying? If you want to look at McDonald's, don't take education serious. You know what I'm saying? I try to tell her. So you could be anything. You could be a doctor. You got to stay on your kids. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these kids I see out here in single parents, these parents don't know how to raise kids. You know what I'm saying? Because they're kids. And it's the same cycle. And until we break this cycle out here, it's always going to be the same. It's always going to be the same. People got to start telling. You know what I'm saying? People got to wake up. I tell people all the time not to fall asleep. You know? That's what we do. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do in society. Our society now is always, it's short-minded. You know what I'm saying? We don't look in the past to see, you know, to learn from the past. Everything shows short-sighted, you know what I'm saying, as far as society nowadays. You know, so something happens, 5 minutes later, we done forgot about it. We moved on to something else.
I think another thing.
Is that you, David?
Yeah, I was just going to say that that's why it's important to teach your kids about, you know, the whole. That's why I talked about that history.
Yeah.
They learn about the civil rights. They learn what people went through, that we stand on the shoulders of many incredible men and women who went before us, who went through slavery, went through all kinds of things so that we can get an opportunity to be free. And I'm going to tell you one thing a friend told me one time, and this was a true fact. He said this, and this kid grew up with money. And I'm black, he white. He said, you know, David, there's no difference between us. He said, And it was an epiphany. He said, "See, you play. Sometimes what you do, you play the victim. I think the world revolves around me. What's the difference between us? You see what I'm saying?" I think it's true.
You
see what I'm saying? I mean, it. So whether you're, you know, because some kids, they're fortunately growing up and their dads or mom made it out of the ghetto or whatever the case may be, and they got a lot of money and stuff. But their kids, they may think the world revolves around them. Where one kid may think, well, I wish I had those parents. And it's not even about that. It's about teaching them how that it's not even about just them. It's about trying to be positive in the society that we live in, trying to teach them to do the right thing.
You teach positivity, but until we change how society is monetarily, everything's surrounded by money. When I grew up as a kid, I didn't have a lot when I was poor. I just enjoyed life. I enjoyed playing with friends. Nowadays, everything is driven by money. That's how they want us to be, a slave to the dollar. You know what I'm saying? We all slaves. You know what I'm saying? We are all slaves to the almighty dollar. And until we change that way of looking at life as far as, you know, materialistic items, you know what I'm saying, you're always going to have this clash.
You know what? I got to bring it back to this. You can have all the money in the world and lose your soul.
We get episodes.
So understand. Yes, you need money. But, you know, the one thing about it is you need your soul to be intact. And
yes,
you
sir.
Need your character to be intact. You know, we can talk about the financials, the ups and downs and what have you. But, you know, it goes back to that old thing, keeping hope alive. To understand that there is a tomorrow. To understand that, hey, today you may be down, but tomorrow you shall rise. One step at a time. You know, making the mind stronger, making the body stronger, and keeping yourself with the will to go forward is all that any of us can try. Whether we become rich, we're all rich with the same point. If we have good health, if we have a sound mind, and if our character is in the right perspective. So, you know, the whole thing about mentoring and what have you is it goes to that extent, you know, to keep those things in line so that, hey, you can live life. And I think that's where Dave's coming from. I think that's where Poetic's coming from. Irregardless of what you strive to do, there's that inside of you that we try to give the nourishment, the mindset, and the chance. Because we believe that if you believe, that you will achieve. Wow, that was deep.
Wow, that was deep, Rodog. John, I know you've been sitting off in the cut, and I'm just been waiting for you to step up and speak out. It's your time, sir.
Well, only thing I got to say is pointed like this right here. For me, myself, I don't want the best from the world. I want to give my best to the world. Then I say that I done my best. You know, like I say, it's nice to have nice things and all those type of things, but that's not the most important thing to me. The most important thing to me, what did I give that's going to keep on giving? You want to give something, they're going to keep on giving. Money do run out. That's just like you might leave your kid something, $1 million, and they take that money and blow it all, waste it. But if you did not install anything in those kids, any kind of morals or principle in their life, it's not going to do them any good. But if you leave something in them instead of for them, that $1 million can take them a long way and keep their kids and their grandkids out of poverty and those low places in life. So that's the main thing in life is to give your best. And try to reach the best potentials, skills that you have and bring them out. Just not physical traits of ability, but those things in your mind that can motivate people to be able to be a mentor or a motivation speaker or somebody to teach the kids and things like that. Those type of qualities also need is a big request right now in life. You know, like I say, your panel will bring it on every time that you bring people on your show, Poetic. You know, like I say, people definitely need to tune in, especially these young artists out here. You know, you can learn a lot. I know I have. It's taken me, you know, it don't took me to another level in my life, and I just want to continue to keep growing and use these things in which that y'all put out here for us, this platform. And I just want to say, man, y'all doing a great job. It's a blessing just to be a part of it.
All right. Thank you, John. I'm just letting you guys know we're going a little bit into overtime because I think it's very important that we kind of get these thoughts out because it does help. If it don't help anybody else, it helps me. And I'm sure it helps you. John just said it helps him. And I'm praying that it's touching the lives of others because that's very important to us, that it does touch your life. Try to help you get in where you fit in. The music is what you want, and I'm sure you want to hear it more and more and more. But Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we have discussions like this, and we talk about it. On Sunday, we take you to church. But Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, if you don't have your music in, then you're not getting in where you fit in. And the music is where we go. And right after the show, we usually do it right there, too. So I'm just letting you guys know that's how we do it. I'm going to go to Quinn because I seen Quinn put his hand up. Quinn, you now have the floor. What's your final thought, sir?
Man, I just like to come in, you know, when y'all was talking about the kids. And, you know, and my thing was, and I would like to give you, you know, I agree with you on that. I'm behind you. I don't want to say that I might say it wrong, what you said. You rather halt your child for not going into that prison life. I feel you. I'm 100%. I feel you on that. I'd rather do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But me personally, I would want the best for my child. You know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, I wouldn't want, you know, my child to end up in bad situations and bad things, you know what I'm saying? Because if I had a child and he ended up in bad situations, that's because he chose that life. It ain't because I taught him, because it's that he chose that life.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And that for, you know, I always said if I do have kids, don't get me wrong, you know what I'm saying? I don't have a child, but I would like to have one day. But I don't want no kid from no anybody, you feel me? And when I do have a child, I would like to raise my own kids because it's the way you raise kids nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Whatever their parent or father did, you know, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
just, not just, you know, they,
sometimes they learn by looking on and say, I don't want to have that path. I don't want to have that life. And sometimes a kid can have a cherry-picked life, but yet they want to fit in with the other people around them out there in the streets. I don't care what you teach them. You can lead, and this is the real truth. You can take a horse to water. You can't make them drink. And the thing it is about our Father up in heaven, He has given us free will. And He has the power to tell us, look, you're going to do this no matter what because I'm the Almighty God. And He could say that, and we have to do it. But He chose to give us free will. So regardless if we have a child, we bring them up in a way that we want them to be, and they don't follow, it's up to them once you took them so far. Because after a while, they're going to choose.
Well, you know, you're right. I agree with you on that all the way. But, you know, that's what I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? Hey, if they don't learn what I taught them then, and they make that decision to go down that wrong road, you know, that's their choices. That's what they make.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's what's going on nowadays, man. A lot of kids out here, you know, it's totally disrespectful. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And one of the guys over here, I agree with him. He say, you know, you see a child go out in public, you know what I mean? They just being disrespectful to their parent. You know what I mean? That's not cool. That don't look good, man. I mean, if you can't control your kid, I don't know what to say for you.
They have no parenting skills. That's what it comes down to. You have kids having kids. You have to pick that.
That's thing. True. That's
they,
true. That you know what? You know what? I heard. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother. I heard on the news, man. This guy got two life sentences, man. This guy raped an 11-year-old and gave a disease, and he raped a 13-year-old and got her pregnant. You know, that's crazy, man. And you know, that don't look good, man. You know what I mean? You know, you out here doing stuff like that, man. You know, you raped this child 13 years old, man. She a child herself, man. How that look, a child having a child?
Exactly. It happens all the time,
yeah,
though.
You know, it happens all the time, but you got and then we look at these grown people now. We look at these grown people having kids, you know what I'm saying? You know, and the fathers ain't in their life. And then, you know, let me tell you what they do. They go blame other people for their problems. You can't blame nobody else for your problems.
Those are
your mistakes.
I didn't have my dad around, but you think I'm not going to be around for my daughter? If anything, that inspired me to be around her even more so. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of times it comes down, it could be a single parent. You know, my mom raised me with value, taught me wrong from right. You know what I'm saying? She taught me
that if
I work hard, I can go out there and succeed. And that's the parenting skills that you need in life. I grew up on food stamps. You know what I'm saying? My mom went back to school, got straight A's, and got a job. You know what I'm saying? And moved us out the project and to a house. So it can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done.
You never give up on hope. You know,
hey guys,
and
I give you guys all a challenge, especially if you're writers. I want to give you a challenge to, maybe create a song that you feel that can be a help to a child or help to somebody, keeping somebody from getting into drugs, keeping somebody from going down the wrong path, somebody from going into jail, into the system. Something that can wake somebody up. Let's go down to a Tupac lane and just wake up.
Yeah, I got a song just like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we listening and we're ready. Yes. Y'all send it in. www.hiphopnationalradio. Okay, guys?
They just living that fast life. That's all I can say.
You know what I've heard. I've heard two sides of the road, but what we have to remember, there's just one road. You know, and I say, Kano, you were blessed to have a mother that was good to you. You know, and you can see it and hear. Well, I can hear it in your conversation, and your conversation is pleasant because you tell the truth, and you're uplifting because you try to motivate through the truth. And, you know, you have to be commended for that because it's real. You know, and the more that I get to hear you, the more I hear someone that I would love to be able to come to your house and pick you up and let's go for a ride, you know, because I'm going to say this to you. Good people is what we want to find more of. And we want to cultivate more good people. People that, you know, if we just tell each other the truth, you know, that's being a good mentor because the truth, you have to learn to live with it. You can be right and you can be wrong, but the truth is the truth. It always stands that way, and I love that about you because you bring that out. And, you know, Quinn, hey, you part of my posse. You know, and I got much love for you, Kano and John. Poetic, you know I got much love for you. And David,
I thought I was going to get something else.
You always got your hand out. You was
got
a bad
love for y'all too.
But
hey, David. Not being disrespectful to your time. I told you it'd be an hour and a half. It's just that the topic get juicy sometimes, and then what happens is we end up going into overtime. So that's what happened tonight, just to let you know.
But we thank
it's
you.
All good.
We really thank you.
I hope you enjoyed yourself here tonight, and I hope this is not the last time we hear from you.
And I hope Poetic didn't scare you. I hope he made you feel welcome. And God bless you, man, because, hey, you gave a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate you. This is Raw Dog.
Thanks. I appreciate it, and it was an honor to be on the show, and I look forward to hopefully being on there again.
We hope to see you and hear from you again.
Thanks,
do you have a tip or advice, a last word of advice that you'd like to leave our listening audience?
You know, one thing I want to say is that there's a scripture that says love covers over a multitude of sin. And I think that one thing that's important is that one thing, not only saying that, but I know that I have a few relatives that are in prison. And the one thing that they say whether I talk to them on the phone or, you know, communicating with them by writing them a card, you know what the guys want to feel? They just want to feel loved. Everybody does. They may call it different things, but the bottom line is everyone desires to feel loved and respected. And I think that the thing I want to close out with is that's my biggest goal, and not to be all fluffy with it, but that's my biggest goal as a life coach and a mentor, or even when I'm speaking to a group of kids or I'm speaking at a camp or I'm speaking at a school. I just want them to sense from me like a sense of love, a sense of like connection. And I think that everybody desires that connection, to know that they're wanted, they're cared about. So hopefully that's what I want to continue to feed off of. And I think somebody said it well, is like, you know, it's about living to give. You know, live to give. And that's actually one of my mottos, live to give, and everything else takes care of itself. So I appreciate being on the show, and it was an honor to meet you guys over the phone. Hopefully I can make my way out to Florida one of these days and be there live with you guys.
Today.
Well, you are much appreciated. I guess I'll be the first one to say it. I love all you guys. Okay? Because without you, it wouldn't have been a good show tonight.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for letting me be on.
See how awkward that was, guys? But didn't it feel good?
It wasn't. It's not awkward. See, the laughter makes it awkward. The laughter made it feel awkward, but it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. You know what? I said that to people on the phone that I, you know, friends and what have you. I've told guys, hey man, I love you, and all of a sudden I hear this dead silence. Like, that's a new one.
Believe it or not, I grew up in a family of all boys, one girl. And I'm telling you, there's not one day that I can say that we don't say we love each other. We call each other all the time just to say I love you. And that's just how it is. It's good to have someone to say I love you.
Yeah, I love you. Just like that.
Hey,
nothing wrong with that.
That's a powerful word, but it's a beautiful word.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Now, did somebody got my lunch money for tomorrow?
Love you, brother.
I'm in North Carolina, so I don't know how I'm gonna be able to make it to lunch.
But hey, at least you thought about it. I appreciate it.
All right. Anybody else with final thoughts, final words that they want to share and put out there?
Yeah, just like we talked. It was a great discussion tonight that we talked about. Just talking about this life, mentoring, coaching. You know, I just hope that there's some young kids out there that listen to this program right now, you know what I'm saying, that we'll be able to soak up some of this knowledge that was presented on this stage tonight. I think we all have the same approach. You know, it's the same approach that we're coming at as far as just in life and just being a mentor in life. And it's just a pleasure talking with some men that are educated, you know what I'm saying, and know what's going on, you know what I'm saying, in today's world. Me personally, I see myself maybe one day as a teacher, as a coach, you know what I'm saying, as a leader. I've been through ups and downs, you know what I'm saying? You know, I could blame, you know, society for, you know, how my life is, but every day I learn something new. And that's another thing this program teaches, you know, it's something new. It's always a different topic, but it's real deep. So I just, like I said, I just hope that there's people out there, you know, that hear us tonight, that understand where we're coming from and giving them that knowledge that they need. And that's real.
All right. Thank you. John, in closing, what you got to say?
The thing that I would like to say, Poet, is this right here, man. For any unsigned young artists out there, the best advice that I can give y'all right now is this is about one of the best shows that you can come out here, come on this show, and get some good knowledge and need to be supported. This show needs to be supported, you know, with a little donation and stuff like that to help this show to get to a certain level. The more that Poetic can get free, the more that he can do for the upcoming artists. You know, he got to work and go out here and do things and try to make this thing work out of nothing, you know what I mean? He's struggling just like everybody else, trying to keep this thing going to give something to us. So he's giving all the time. So, you know, we need to step up and make some sacrifices and help. Because he out here loading your music, getting it some airplay, get it listened to and heard, and pointing you in the right direction and stuff like that. You know, like I said, you know, upcoming artists, you know, sometimes you got to sacrifice going to the club this weekend, spending that extra $20 or whatever, you know, and try to donate to the show to help. You know, you're promoting your music, you know, you can't get no better place than $20 to promote your music, to get it heard, some airplay and stuff like that. You got some great people on the show, and he got plenty of connections. So all these young upcoming artists, young people, you know, something good to tune into and really think about your budget and try to support your music.
All right, Rondell, you heard that. Make sure you give him a PayPal thing because I'm going to tell you just like this.
I'm still looking for my lunch money.
You got to pay that man for what he just said. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about John. He always gives back.
And then we got Quinn. Quinn, I know you want to have a closing word before we go. So I just wanted to give you the mic.
Man, you know, I won't speak for just not only the artists, man. I speak for everybody, man. Everybody. Everybody on the panel tonight. Everybody out there in the world. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can just hear the sound of my voice. You know what I'm saying? I speak for everybody. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, my thing is, man, this show have really helped me and taught me a lot about the music. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, man, I like calling in and, you know, listen to the show when I just want to just talk about music because, you know, I love music. I love music ever since I was a little boy, you know what I mean? When I was 5 years old, that's how I really started. I stayed back a grade, you know what I'm saying? Music kept me back a grade, you know what I mean? So I'm just being real. I stayed back in kindergarten, you know what I'm saying? I stayed back in kindergarten for, you know, doing that music, you know what I'm saying? Music, you know, hey, I was always go to school every day singing Tupac, you know what I mean? And hey, it kept me back a grade, you know. But anybody that, you know, out there, all the artists that trying to get heard and want to be heard, you know, get there and stay there, you know what I mean? Don't go down the wrong road, man. To the kids out there, man, do the same thing, dog. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, don't follow nobody, man. You know what I mean? Do, you know, hey, do what's real, man. You know what I mean? Don't do what's wrong, man. Do what's right. You know what I'm saying? Don't follow nobody, man, and keep your head up, man. You know, let them know, man, God, the same God he was from yesterday and today and forever, man.
Love it. Love it, man. Nice clothes, man. I appreciate that, Quinn. Right off.
Yeah.
Final thoughts.
Well, you know, what I'm going to say is, hey, everybody keep your head up, stand tall, and speak the truth. And if you do that, I don't know how you can get in trouble. And that's my closing remark. And I love all of y'all.
I got a closing remark, too. Just before it kind of went off from exactly where I wanted to go with it, but I definitely want to let you guys know I did some research before I came. There's a company called SCORE. SCORE is a mentoring program. It's actually stands for, let me make sure I got it right. It stands for, okay, guys, it's Service Corp of Retired Executives. And they have different organizations set up around the world. SCORE is actually around to help you as a mentor. So you can connect with them in your community. They're out there to help young entrepreneurs and keep them guided. It's a nonprofit organization. I say connect with it. I'm personally going to be doing it, and I just wanted to share that word of advice with you guys. I'm not paying them anything. They ain't paid me nothing to give them that drop. I just thought it was a great situation of something that I was looking into that I see that you guys could probably connect with you in your community, see what they can do to help guide you in your gift, your craft, because that's what I'm looking for. So like I said, and I said it before, I live my life as an open book right here on Hip Hop National Radio. The things that I'm coming in contact with, the people that I come in contact with, I try to bring them right here live for you to get an experience. That's what this whole program is about, is giving you the experience that can possibly change the way you think, change the way you work, act, and possibly help you to be a success in this industry of music, and you'll turn around and say, hey, I learned it on Hip Hop National. I appreciate you all for tuning in. www.hiphopnationalradio. Upload your music today. We're looking for it. Okay? And with all of that said, guys, I'm going to say good night to everybody and tell you all to come again. You listen to Hip Hop National Radio. Keep it locked. Keep it loaded. Right here. Well, you got it. Good night.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.